This case asks whether federal immigration law claims a state law crime that does not depend on the offender's lawful presence in the United States, immigration status, or eligibility to work. More by way, it's required any fraud against the federal employment verification system. Indeed, the only action necessary to violate Arizona's identity theft laws is taking another person's identity for the purpose of gaining or continuing employment. And regulating behavior of that type falls squarely within what the Supreme Court calls the vast powers of resources of the states in the 15th Amendment. On the other hand, proving preemption requires a clear and manifest purpose by the United States Congress to oust state law in a certain area. The other side does not only fail to identify federal statutes that function from the defense that comes in tension, but to the contrary, everything points in the opposite direction. The best place to start with that may be the IRC itself. In Section 1324A5, which is something that enforces the U.S. law comes to identifying information that is supposed to be addressed to, the U.S. Congress has limited the use I-9-S attachments for prosecutions of five specifically enumerated federal statutes. As it is clear in the Indian Express Prediction Provision, as this Court has kept holding its keys case with its own degrees, where Congress is specific about the area that it intends to preempt, that sort of specificity demonstrates that it does not intend creates beyond the use. So everyone recognizes in this case that if Arizona were extremely emphatic charges about providing an identity that falls in the only evidence was the I-9, those things would have to be dismissed. The court, of course, is going to highlight exactly that position. Yes, that's a good point. In rules of speed, the exclusion of the evidence, I actually tend to think in terms of 2485 and substantial rule more than substantive provision. And that's what the courts have started to do. So we see that radio just been so open up to the Supreme Court that it's the Supreme Court identity theft statute. And the court said that the parts of that claim that depended on the I-9 had to be dismissed because there's no First of all, I think that's an incorrect factual statement. And I'll just briefly note that at the first time I've seen that, there were two separate records. I'm in the lower court. I think this is actually a small error that the honors court says that there's no evidence of any other purpose. Well, that's true because 3402 of the record represented Pierce's country line and sponsoring this in years and quarters thing. Access to the harms that comes from the defense and the exposures is number one of these. This one reduces the amount of these communities. There's resistance. There's a lot of resistance. So this is determined. So that evidence is in the record about the intent of the Arizona legislature. At best, the legislature has offhand comments from any of the legislature members. But not that goes to the main issue at a legal level, and this is probably more important. At a legal level, the only question is Congress protected in the U.S. Congress clearly manifested to the plaintiffs the flaw. The state can do whatever it wants to, it can have whatever purpose it's in mind, as long as it's not encroaching federal field or creating a conflict with federal law. There's no breach. One final point on this about the self-serving purpose. The legal Arizona Workers Act has already been litigated all the way to the Supreme Court in binding decision in 2001, and this was present in that case. This is what was presented to the court there. In fact, I'll read you from the record in that appeal. We cited the House press release, the Arizona House of Representatives press release, referring to candid action with federal government response to Congress has failed in this regard. We're asking how the time is signing a statement increases federal responsibility to outside House Bill 2779. It is now about a year that Congress finds itself incapable of building its immigration. This is in the record of my list of judges, 384 of the voting record. Court address now, they were signed in page 3 of page 45, and page 19 is page 3, which is the national address, that was page 3. So this is in front of the Supreme Court. This is the change of purpose behind that statute. Has already been needed to have that fully explored. The legal arts and orders are used primarily about those clear sanctioned reasons. Military use to be verified. That's what most of these comments are about. The amendments to the DWF forms really a very small part of that, at the most. And the only real arguments is simply the DWF laws and for the votes to be in the past. The DWF is in the past. I don't think there's a special rule for me. The intent of Congress has been in the face of the statute. That's what we need. If there's any further delving necessary, you could delve into the structure of the Federal Act and the legislative history of the Federal Act, and thereby drive these decisions from Congress's intent. But none of these cases, this is important, not one single case, other than ones that pertain to the state of Texas, the other side of not one of those is the decision is the purpose of meeting intent. In the sense that we use that, and sometimes cases are written on a purpose of effects, and by effects they mean the reasonable thing is this really constitutes federal law. So you can look at the effects of the state law. That's certainly fine for non-immigration purposes, but when it comes to creating the intention of the U.S. Congress, which is the touchstone in every fancy case, the only thing it does preempting, is what I'm asking for the future of the nuclear law. Is a useful precedent because there everyone is denied a bail hearing if they are unlawfully detained in this case. And so this goes to the specific operation of facial challenges, which is known as the very long group for facial challenges. In any case, it's from the face of the statute that every person is going to be denied a bail hearing based on one variable of the policy in the United States. In the case that cites Supreme Court versus Louisiana, the Supreme Court in 1992 is the mandatory commitment rule for everyone who is committed on an unsubstantiated offense. It's equally mandatory, so everyone who needs that is devised that every single person is denied an individual escape. This represents a good argument in that those ones are available because some of those people were at the time bail anybody who was not stationed in their passengers. So the court said, no, because every person is denied at least an individualized hearing to which they're entitled, regardless of whether you would have been committed or not, that is based on constitutional. But that's not the case here. That's unlike the case.
In terms of the community, the ARS 13 years, which has been a cause under attack, is says, what would be intent to obtain a visa to employment? It doesn't say anything about how authorized it is. It says, okay, in the same regard, the ARS 13 years, 2003,
fact that the federal government has its own identity theft statute, which is clearly enacted, by the way, more specifically than the immigration laws, and it expressly incorporates state identity theft statutes. That's Section 1028. And the legislative history confirms that Congress urged the states to set themselves free. Congress urged the states to continue cooperating with the federal government in these prosecutions. That states that Congress intended for these laws to continue existing. By the way, all of this, I don't need to say in front of the congressional intent that state law remained in place. It just so happens that Congress is so strong that that's all it works on.
Let me ask you
to
say maybe better than I asked your
witnesses or to work undercover to keep a more serious offender being cleared. Does it have an impact on the outcomes of the conversation.
employment and immigration, but specifically here, from the purpose verification system. Well, we see most of the things in the court and related to the legislation that show that the court specifically considered the possibility of a rise in fraud in response to the verification system. Well, we see that the code of and the Texas Immigration Act of 1990 and a series of civil penalties on workers who committed fraud to circumvent the verification system. There's criminal penalties that are amended in 1946 to specifically include criminal acts of attestation for purposes of the verification process. And then these are the purposes that we also mentioned in Section B-5 of 1548, because it's a federal criminal statute, that the federal authorities have it available to go after people who are using fraud to circumvent that system. The hypothetical was that the judge found that the primary purpose of that statute was the medical finding of fact that she only reversed her clear error was to punish undocumented workers for committing fraud to circumvent the federal verification system. Well, the field of prosecution specifically the use of false ID or false evidence and information to circumvent the verification system. In finding these two specific provisions, spatial appearance and gestural looks, that can be noted to the purpose motivating the quality present past laws, as well as their inevitable effects. And the actual natural law that for human use specific provisions, no, that is not the problem. This court actually rejected a criminal avenue to offense in the Arizona case. There are other than that is why I mean that they can actually provision verification settings that comes on the law issue there being applied in the decision specifically conflict with federal law. However, the federal that the government must allow constitutional application of statute that on its face conflicts with congressional intent and then place present to us. Well, these two provisions conflict with federal law in two main ways. First of all, they impose inconsistent additional penalties attached to Federal C, and second, they divest federal authorities of that discretion that would have been vested in them by Congress under the Federal C Inclusive American Justice Position, thus allowing prosecutions fully aligned with the priorities that would be taken into account when some federal prosecutors. Prosecutors are going after usual fraud.
This is the Congress has been moderating the court in the federal court, but it doesn't stop by the states also prosecuting corrupt leaders. They require fraud and they don't fraud federal crime without the state prosecution. Why is this
different? I would say this is the permission
to share. And then if you have the conclusion, why is
Federal Reserve Bank granted that this is granted? Well, because Congress intended to impose a seal outside the circumvent the verification system created by the
Congress. How do you put it?
by the health care board for medical practice additional, and where some of the federal standards is wide aware of both federal criminal and immigration consequences that follow the body side of the schedule, and the Arizona scheme is really only felony criminal sections. And there is no taking into account of these vulnerable workers that has been criminal in Arizona. Congress also to take into account that balance in America. And that there's certain people who might be violating a letter of the law or a state or federal law, but who shouldn't be subject to the human certain circumstances by the statute. Are people that need them to be prosecuted? Well, we know that Judge Campbell applied both controlling case law from both the circuit and the Supreme Court and looking beyond just the text of those provisions to the writing text that they were included in, the obligations in those laws, as well as the particular inevitable effect, which is to target undocumented workers as exclusively. Well, subsequent Supreme Court case law, as well as law from the circuit, specifically applying Salerno and talking about Salerno in the context of prosecution, which is because opponents can come up, or your honors can come up with one hypothetical of a law that is done in a way that doesn't specifically restrain on federal appeal or conflict with specific federal law. Doesn't say that law provision is going to go to the case for federal appeals. The case is written by the Supreme Court. The court is going to have to step back. The court noted there that a law term to the grant of appeal is not safe. It is not the state can demonstrate some additional
effects. What you're saying is Congress are not criminalizing the kind of behavior of authorized entities. Work here is forbidden the states from doing anything that is criminalized to work here. Is that what you're saying?
Not exactly, Your Honor. Congress actually does criminalize fraud, circumvention, and verification systems to the legal county here. But we know that when Arizona got stepping in 2007 to 2008, at the height of anger and fervor in that state, specifically going after undocumented workers, committing that fraud, and subjecting them to Class 3 and Class 4 felony sections, with no other sort of options that he has to be able to do with the prosecutors, intrude upon that state and create a conflict of federal law. Well, that's why the Supreme Court told us to look forward to the purpose and more ahead of the effect. And not the effect in the sense of, you know, looking at the prosecution by case as sort of a practical, consistent law or inevitable effect of the law that's here. And so it's really hard to imagine a law specifically criminalizing identity theft for the purpose of employment. Given that our code is the most pervasive federal regulation of who can be working in this country, we can sort of anticipate that a law, especially in a place like Arizona, with a large direction of patients, would largely encourage undocumented workers.
Congress
No, only the ones that have been sealed and brought to circumvent the federal employment verification system. Brought by immigrants attempting to comply with the unknown area.
Sir, my question
is, how does it intend to regulate every part of that application to every business in the country involving that case? No, Your Honor, it's intended to be specifically that brought to attempt to comply or circumvent the response to the workers' verification system.
Verification, okay.
If it would not be before, if I were to apply for a job, it was a very strict process that I wouldn't have to show the same amount or choice of evidence that I would if my opposition to work for CERCA, which is the Supreme Court that I have made, that I'm not pressing for me to search for the federal immigration policy, change the instructions, the alternative documentation process, and create a Congress people as an incentive for people on the terrorist warrant to commit to the Supreme Congress to set this account and give federal authorities this wide array of clinical possibility, noting that it also includes the potential for discrimination, to be heard to workers' rights, and give federal authorities a full set of standards to deal with this problem. And the Arizona entry in here is in turn on that field and created a great conflict of technique between federal law on the one hand and the Arizona Federation of Disability and Criminal Sanctions to work with each other.
Can you join us
here? Good morning, Your Honor. Upon this court being invited to Seoul and Arizona and other key cases, the district court carefully and well-reasoned reached a careful and well-reasoned opinion very comprehensively that should not be disturbed by this court unless there is a finding of abuse of discretion. First, Judge Campbell's finding on irreparable harm and other equitable factors are all findings of fact that should be entitled to deference by this court and reviewed for abuse of discretion. On irreparable harm, for example, Judge Campbell found that three FONSE members faced the threat of imminent prosecution because they were currently in violation of Arizona's worker identity provision. These three sworn declarations were filed and considered by the court. And there is direct precedent in this court that the threat of imminent prosecution under Valle del Sol for prosecution under unconstitutional law is sufficient for irreparable harm. And if that threat for prosecution exists where a person is currently in violation of the law that defendants have a history of vigorously enforcing, that is specific to this threat. The panel also found that the balance of equities tipped in favor of plaintiffs because the majority preemptive laws impose little harsh on the defendants, particularly where they have other laws where they can combat identity theft. Turning now to Judge Campbell's order denying Maricopa County's appeal of the criminal liabilities, the courts have no questions on the favorable factors that Judge Campbell ruled upon. The order denying Maricopa County's appeal of the criminal liability, first, this is an issue on which the court can exercise jurisdiction. It says 1292A makes clear that only orders on preliminary or permanent injunctions may be appealed. Matters not set forth in 1292A1 can only be heard if they fall under one of the narrow exceptions for permitted parent by public jurisdiction or a collateral order. That is not present here, and the Supreme Court in Seoul rejected a very attempt similar to what is made here of a municipality which received two parlays, the appeal of a qualified immunity issue, and aims to appeal the summary judgment order. The first court noted the concerns that the county's arguments about Monell are treated as a defense to liability and are more appropriately reviewed on appeal from a final judgment because Monell is not a liability from suit or from an injunction in this case.
Who is the person involving the community of promulgating the policy?
Under this very circumstance, I am a husband bound to be a final policymaker for the County of Arizona. Additionally, under state law, Sheriff, I am a husband bound to be a final policymaker in the Flanders case. Every other district court to the third issue, I am also bound to Sheriff, I am a final policymaker.
Your position is that the
county
is going to let them be
No, Your Honor, and the county's argument is that independent appellate jurisdiction should be exercised in this case because there's overlap. Overlap is not the standard of these two issues. The standard is set forth on whether the decision should be, the issue should be reached in a meaningful, to ensure accurate review, or if the issues are inextricably intertwined. This court can rule on the preliminary injunction issues with looking at the various factors of month. And not rule on the issue of liability of the areas. Lastly, I have 2 points. First, he said that the plenary district court should rule on the issue. And the only area of the Court of Appeals that has ruled on the issue is found under state law, the sheriff is the final policymaker. In court, in Belinda v. Arpaio, denying rehearing en banc to Maricopa County on the question of whether or not it was a proper defendant. They rejected the very same arguments the county is making here in the Supreme Court denying certiorari. Appellants have not addressed any of the cases that come out of the district court in Arizona or this court finding our title members. And for these reasons and those addressed by Ms. Fosford, the Judge Campbell's rulings on the preliminary injunction should be affirmed and all the specific honors have no other questions for myself or my co-counsel.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Brady,
thank you.
The first is the mismatch between the federal claims which is the recognized system and the universal activities that are undertaken by the statutes. In fact, the court in note 3 in our opening brief, which cites a list of examples but not any documents, some of our defendants have been vaccine certifications, professional licenses, and damages prosecuted for using someone else's defense, number of the obligation, and the provider of the defense number to the United Nations, and you do for the purpose of community building the defense office. So examples of that amount, and in those cases, the mismatch between the field of where the federal state can lead on to information and the field here by the WFC to the voting on. The mismatch between these opportunities fields only proves your point that the needs of the Congress that discusses the law have exercised here. The second point to clarify is that the new site sums the key case, for example, where there's language in the law, you can't rely on a non-agreement to purpose, or you can support a grant to them. That would only be on point if there was someone who's trying to say that we can use the I-9 as evidence of identity theft and then rely on all these other non-preemptive examples in order to justify that. This is the argument that James rejected as not the argument that we're making. Finally, I'll turn just briefly to the balance of studies. I think the most points are reasonable on these points, but when it comes to the harm that people suffer here, victims of identity theft, and there are many of them, and we can see the tables and records in some ways. People, especially who try to seek public assistance, and then they find that their social disabilities and their income, and there's no balance with the money that benefits, or they get the tax bill at the end of the year that they never earn that money, but never earmarked to the IRS. These harms are all real and substantial. We can see between this housing robot and the people of Arizona. On the email point, there's no contest that the county attorney is not a, it's not a decision maker, Thank you.